Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
The pressure on data centers has never been greater. Whether you're expanding capacity, supporting AI workloads, or building new facilities, Graybar works alongside you with the solutions, specialists, and logistics expertise you need today. We help you power performance every step of the way, so your operation is ready now. Yep, Graybar does that.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball. Home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S. according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
Welcome in to the Potawatomi Sportsbook post-game show. Not quite post-game yet. Luis Lara, another sliding grab in right center field to take away extra base hits from Matt Olson. He is probably so sick and tired of watching Luis Lara make great plays on his extra base hits. He did it yesterday, that catch in the wall in the sixth inning, and now here in the eighth inning, DL Hall in, he's got two outs. The Brewers with a 4-1 lead on the verge of winning another series and a chance for a sweep tomorrow if DL can get this out here, and then a close in the ninth, probably Aaron Ashby. McGill was probably down. He's pitched the last 2 days, so he might still have to have some nails remaining to bite if Ashby's coming in. He just tends to let some guys on sometimes.
It once in a while seems to be his Achilles heel, and you'd never want to talk about an athlete and the Achilles, but it just seems as he likes to put himself in predicaments that he ends up in many cases working out of, but quite honestly, he seems to be at his best when you amp the pressure up just a little bit, and then he finds whatever's left in the reserve and gets the job done.
If you're tuning in and you're like, hey, this is the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show, and we don't hear Tim Allen. That's right. Tim Allen's got a gig today with his band Conviction. So Aaron Morse and Don Wachilis doing the postgame show here, I guess, this afternoon. A little weird on a Saturday. It's 3:30 and we're doing a post-game show, but they've got to get to the Little League Classic tomorrow night, which is going to be really cool to watch.
And BA was talking about it on the broadcast. You know, he and Rock talking about how it felt more like a Sunday than a Saturday, and they hit it right on the head. I mean, usually this is the time frame of a Sunday afternoon affair. I love Saturday afternoon baseball. You know, growing up, going to County Stadium back in the day, Saturday afternoon baseball was the best. And I get why they moved it to evenings for all of the varying purposes, but boy, Saturday afternoon baseball is just the best.
You know what they could try to do more often? And I do something about afternoon baseball, and you know, we don't like to compliment the team down south very much, but they do a lot of afternoon games, which is pretty cool. It's kind of, it's been their history and tradition forever. That's why they do it. City ordinances and whatnot. No, not too many night games there, but it's cool to have some afternoon games once in a while. But I also like getting done with work, going home, sitting down, Brewer game. You know, I do like that as well. So it's hard to say. I guess we just like watching baseball, is what it comes down to.
Absolutely.
They could do more of what they did Friday, where they had a 3:10 start. That was, I kind of like that as well. Now, there's a bunch of reasons why. You could point to the Little League Classic.
Yep.
So they want to move everything up to be allowed to get a day game today. The Packers played a night game yesterday. Mm-hmm. Don't want to infringe on that.
Right.
Maybe it's people traveling because of wanting to go up north. And that's a big one. Maybe they just do some random Friday 3:10 games. People can go to the game. And after, they can go up north, and then they're up north by 9 o'clock at night,
and
they can do their thing
for some different reasons. The same thing on a Saturday doesn't always have to be a 6:05, 6:10 first pitch. That you could go ahead and fire away at 3:05, and then allow again people to do what they want to do on a Saturday night, in addition to baseball, because obviously with the way attendance has been this year, people are showing up, and you don't want to do anything really to mess with that. However, I with the festivals and everything that goes on in this city over the summer, to move it up a little bit
and allow people
to continue, that's not a bad way to look at it.
Yeah. DL Hall gets out of the inning, a 10-pitch strikeout, 1-2-3 for him. So Chad Patrick and D.L. Hall doing the job. It's likely going to be Ashby in the ninth, we guess, because McGill is down. Senzatella is probably down. We know Uribe is on the injured list. So seems like Ashby is the guy that is going to come in and get the close in the ninth. Unless the Brewers can add some runs on in the bottom of the eighth, and then you could throw Grant Anderson or Bryce Wilson or whoever else you wanted to out of that pen in kind of a lower levered situation. Logan Henderson was fantastic again today.
Yes.
He is now 18 starts in his career, and 18 starts have been three or fewer earned runs. Only two of those have been three runs. All of them else have been two or fewer.
And I don't know about you, Aaron, but again, that first inning, a little bit on the struggle bus.
Yep.
Not bad, but just a little. And I thought, oh boy, you know, the heart sinks a little bit.
He's like, due for one kind of feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then to get out of it in the fashion that he did, and then to shrug it off, obviously a couple innings later, the Brewers tie it and then have the big inning in which they pull ahead. But his ability to rebound in that second inning and just shut the Braves down and move forward from there, I thought was a telltale sign, in a good way, of where this was going to head as we move our way to the ninth and hopefully can just put a bow and wrap this thing up and put another one in the win column for the good guys.
Yeah, he gave up a walk, leadoff walk to Baldwin, struck out Acuna Jr., single to Matt Olson, double to Michael Harris the second.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, wow, Logan Henderson's human. He gives up a run. You're like, oh, they look good against him those first three or four at-bats.
Right.
And that, as you mentioned, he settled down. Second inning, 1-2-3. Third inning, leadoff walk, and then got Acuna, Olson, Harris the second, the guys who got him in that first inning right after it. So just him being, I mean, he's basically his rookie year, his first full year.
Right.
And as you mentioned, he was able to bounce back. Great sign, because young guys can't always do that.
No, and there is a theme brewing with this team. No pun intended.
I was going to say,
no pun intended.
Great words.
But the idea, the way this young pitching staff is really rising to the occasion. I know we've all lamented about whether or not they could have gotten Skubal or any other free agent or somebody else in the trade, by the trade deadline, excuse me, in order to help bolster. But the way these young guys are really taking it upon themselves to take that extra step, to have the mental fortitude like Henderson had today, to shrug off that first inning, it just gives you so much hope now working our way into the very latter parts of this season.
Yeah, Luis Lara, multiple hits today. Cooper Pratt reached on an error, sack fly, and a sack bunt. So he's doing his job at least at the plate. Joey Ortiz with another base hit today. Willian Contreras, two more hits. And
yeah,
we were talking before we came on the air, Jake Bowers. And we'll go through the game here coming up in just a little bit. But Jake Bowers, one at-bat he had in that third inning. 12-pitch at-bat, yep. Followed off, what, seven straight pitches?
Yep.
And yep. Then he homers, no doubter, to center field.
And I have no idea what that feeling is like, but watching when a player like Jake Bowers connects the way he did, to know. Not standing there going, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, I hope this creeps over the wall, or you know, the center fielder runs out of real estate. That was a swing, a connection in which he just stood there like, yeah, there's no doubt about this thing. And let me go take my trot and give the Brewers the lead.
Yeah, usually those at-bats, it feels like they either end in soft contact somewhere or a walk. Those long at-bats,
yes,
long
right.
battles, foul balls. It's not much exciting, but and then you just say either it was a walk and, wow, what a really good at-bat to reach base. Or then it's hit softly, wow, what a really good at-bat. Not what you wanted, but it was worked his pitch count. You don't really ever see the home run. At least it feels like the vibe of that isn't that you're going to see a home run after a long at bat like that.
And the fact that not only did he, but the others in that inning. I mean, they took Perez 37 pitches to get out of that inning and really upped his pitch count to get him out of the game, I'm sure, way earlier than what the Braves would have hoped as far as starting pitching went, as distance goes, in trying to preserve the bullpen a little bit for tomorrow's game.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that at-bat, that 12-pitch at-bat, which then led again to a 37-pitch inning, that's right now, we can just call it Brewer baseball. You can call it small ball, old school ball, classic ball, whatever you want. But for the immediacy, that's Brewer baseball right now.
Four pitch, 5 pitch, 12 pitch, 5 and 3 in that inning, that third inning. 3 is the least amount of pitches you see from a pitcher. That's usually going to result in some success. And Martin Perez dominated them earlier this year in Atlanta. He went 6 innings, 1 run, and they clearly adjusted this time. He only went 4 innings on 97 pitches. So they definitely adjusted, and now they're 3 outs away from winning a series against Atlanta.
And you see why the Brewers lead the major leagues in pitches per batter per inning.
Yeah.
They're patient. They go about, you know, fouling things off. Not every batter, you know, Terang looked a little out of sorts early on today, so you know, let's not lump everybody into the same category, but there are so many players right now on this team that are patient and that are executing when it's not their pitch, just getting the bat on the ball, knocking it foul, live to see another pitch, another at bat, another day.
Yeah, Bryce Terang, he has looked a little rough here in the month of August. 203 in August, clearly his worst month. He's coming off a month where he hit 309, so they need him to get back to being Bryce Terang. His OPS only 540, which you're not gonna you need more from the guy who's hitting first or second in your lineup every single night, no matter if it's a lefty or a righty. You just alternate it depending on the hand. So Bryce Terang, they need him to get going, but other guys are getting going. Contreras is getting going again. Churio looks like he's figuring it out. Ortiz continues to hit. I don't know what has gotten into that guy, but I can't believe, I never thought I'd get to a point where I'd want Joey Ortiz in the lineup.
You know, we were talking before we came on the air about the little idiosyncrasies, arm angle as far mm-hmm. as a pitcher goes, or how they're hiding the baseball, or where their elbow is when they're at bat. And it's obvious not only the move to third base seems to have relaxed Joey Ortiz, but somebody in the lab made a correction, which now has allowed him to be kind of the offensive juggernaut that I'm with you. I don't think any of us thought he would be. And if I go back a month and a half ago, he was one of those guys I thought you could package to go get Scooble or someone else. And then the fire got ignited, and he's been on fire ever since.
It's been impressive to watch. He's been He's been the best hitter in the National League by OPS since July 4th. How is that even possible? Joey Ortiz.
Now you think back, like, was there some way we could have went to Pottawatomie and put a couple of bucks on Joey Ortiz and then just sit back and plan the Hawaii trip now?
Look how smart we are, right?
Right? Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's Aaron Morris and Don Wachilis in on the Pottawatomie Sportsbook postgame show today. Tim Allen's got a band gig with Conviction today, so he is off. He'll be back on the postgame show tomorrow. Brewers 3 outs away from a win over the Braves here this afternoon. Aaron Ashby in for the save. We'll see if he can get it done when we come back here from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
Data centers don't wait, and neither should your supply chain. From power and connectivity to racks and critical power, Graybar brings the products and the experience data centers need now. And with deep inventory and logistics expertise, we keep projects moving from first delivery to final install. With hundreds of locations and a nationwide delivery fleet, we help you bring facilities online on time and on budget. Yep, Graybar does that.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55 plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, ta-da! If you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get 2 phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence Data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Well, we've got a classic Aaron Ashby experience going on here in the ninth inning. An infield single, a little dribbler up the middle, and there's 2 on, nobody out in a 3-run lead. Lane Thomas is pinch hitting. He is a right-handed hitter, lefty hitting specialist. I always think about Lane Thomas. If I'm not mistaken, he is the guy that a few years ago, he was with the Guardians and he hit a grand slam off Skubal in the ALDS in like the 5th inning or whatever.
I believe you are correct.
Yeah, it was Lane Thomas. So he hits lefties well, and they're pinch hitting him to face Ashby right now, who's got him 2-2. So
what did we say during the break? The last time you and I were together doing the post-game show, because Tim had a gig again, it was a game that you and I both thought was going to end really quick, much like yesterday. What was yesterday? Like 2 hours, 20 minutes, somewhere in that realm. And all of a sudden, here we go again. We're like, man, we hope we don't have to go through something like that again. Thank you, Aaron Ashby, who's going to see if he can drag this out ever so long while we sit here waiting for it to come to a conclusion.
Yeah, the game took about 45 minutes longer than we thought it would.
Right.
Yes.
Yes, it did. Yes, it did.
Ashby gets Lane Thomas to fly out, so Austin Riley is up to bat. So Ashby's got 8-9 here, needs two outs, and he's got a ground ball. Is this going to do it? And it
is.
Here
we are.
Ashby gets out of it. Double play, Austin Riley. Ashby with the save. Brewers win it 4-1, and they win a series over the Atlanta Braves. We have a couple more minutes here before we got to take a break at the top of the hour, and then we will definitely dive into this postgame. We'll take your calls on the Nicolay Law Fan Talking text line, 414-677-1250. Text in, call in. Aaron Morse, Don Wachilis here on the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show. Tim Allen off today. He's got a gig with his band Conviction, and the Brewers win it 4-1. Two really nice wins back-to-back here over a really good Braves team.
And as you said, another series win.
Yeah.
So, yes, you want to see the Brewers go for the sweep. You always would love that to take place, especially in my mind, it erases then when you got swept against the Padres. It kind of evens things out. But knowing now, headed to the Little League Classic, you've got the series in your back pocket. I think the vibe on the plane will be a little bit different than it would have been had they lost today and you were vying for tomorrow's series victory, I'll call it that, going again to that Little League Classic. And if my math serves me correct, the Brewers are now 67-11 when scoring four or more runs in a game. And that's exactly what they did today. They hit the four mark. They win 4-1. When this team can put some runs on the board, the scales, again, are heavily tipped in their favor.
Yeah, because their pitching is incredible. I mean,
right.
we talked about it already. Logan Henderson now has 18 career starts, and he hasn't allowed more than three earned runs in all 18 of them. Only twice has he given up even three earned runs in those starts. His ERA is now 2.60 this year. It's almost unbelievable. He's only one of two pitchers since 1893 to do that.
How many times over the last few years prior to this little recent run that the Brewers have been on, that if we had a pitching staff that was 3-1, 3-2-5, you were feeling pretty confident.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you've got what you just threw out there as Henderson's ERA. You got Miz at, 1.75, I think it is. The ERAs on this staff, and I'm still a firm believer in ERAs. I know there's other analytics out there, but I tend to just keep it basic and simple because that's what I understand, and that's ERAs batting average.
Yeah,
that's what I'm looking at. And the ERAs for this Brewer pitching staff, it's special right now from a group of guys, again, that are a little young when we think about where a veteran pitcher would have been, you know, really helpful. But this crew, meaning the pitching staff, is showing us they really didn't need it, that they're pretty solid and they're mature enough to handle, again, like Henderson did in that first inning, the adversity that will come. And let's hope that kind of keeps playing itself out as we make our way to the playoffs.
Mizorowski, 1.68. Harrison, 2.84. Logan Henderson, 2.6. Shane Drouin, 3.86. I feel like he's pitched better than 3.86, but if that's your fifth best starter, 3.86.
Hello.
Are you kidding me? Pretty darn good. So these guys are Chad Patrick's 3.30. He's been split between starter and reliever. They've been incredible, and they have been pretty much they have exceeded expectations for sure. I mean,
absolutely.
by a mile.
Absolutely.
All right, we need to take a break. Top of the hour here on the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show. We'll get to your calls and texts coming up after the break. It is 414-677-1250 is the way to get in. The Brewers are victorious 4-1. They've won a series with the Braves. They will go for a sweep tomorrow in the Little League Classic. The Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show with Aaron Morse and Don Wachilis today on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Baseball fans, think you know who's hitting a homer today? Well, FanDuel is giving you a free chance to call your shot with daily dingers. Joining the action is easy. Just make your free pick on who's hitting a home run in their game, and if you're right, you'll get a profit boost to use on your next bet for a chance at extra winnings. You've got nothing to lose and a lot to gain. And don't forget, you can make a free pick every day during the MLB season. It's just another reason why FanDuel is the home for home runs. So, are you ready to play your game today? Join all the action at FanDuel.com/podcast. That's FanDuel.com/podcast to play daily dingers and make your free pick on who's hitting a homer. Play ball and swing for the fences on FanDuel, an official partner of the MLB.
Must be 21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. A bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Really? Wait, are you...
Yep, it's Keenan.
Able to finish in person without starting the process over?
Really? Your info stays with you every step of the way.
Cool. Enjoy.
It's Keenan Thompson. Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really?
When legacy automation starts impacting visibility and downtime, it may be time to consider modernization. Graybar's automation specialists work alongside your team to help you identify risks and map out realistic upgrade paths without unnecessary disruptions. Get started with a free health check of your operations and see what's possible. Yep, Graybar does that.
Baseball has always been a game of inches. Now, it's also a game of seconds. T-Mobile and MLB have teamed up to bring ABS Challenge to all 29 ballparks across the U.S. This isn't a minor upgrade. This is the most significant new technology in the history of the sport, and it's powered by T-Mobile. With every pitch thrown, ABS Challenge uses real-time precision to verify the call, giving them the support they need. No delays, no guesswork, just accuracy at the speed the game demands. Thanks to ABS Challenge, T-Mobile is helping power the moments that define the game. When performance and reliability are non-negotiable, MLB turns to T-Mobile. That's not a coincidence. That's what happens when the most innovative network in the country powers the most data-driven sport in the world. T-Mobile powers MLB's most ambitious technology, and America's best network powers your connection to baseball, home or away, every pitch, every game, every day. T-Mobile, it's better over here.
Major League Baseball trademarks and copyrights are used with permission of Major League Baseball. Visit MLB.com. T-Mobile, best mobile network in the U.S., according to Ookla speed test. Based on analysis by Ookla of speed test intelligence data, first half 2026. Ookla trademarks used under license and reprinted with permission.
My name is Jessa. One of the things I love the most about working for United Healthcare is that everybody matters. Every moment matters. There's a person behind every problem. I care because it's what I was put on this earth to do.
I'm Ben, and I work at United Healthcare. I am just one piece of a larger puzzle, but every piece matters. It's more than just work. We want to make the healthcare system better for everyone. I care because I want to make a difference. That's what committed to care means to me.
Oh, the Brewers win 4-1 over the Atlanta Braves. They've won the series. They'll go for a sweep tomorrow night at Williamsport, the Little League Classic. No Tim Allen, though, today. He's got a gig with the band. So Aaron Morris and Don Wachilis here doing the post-game show this afternoon. Is it evening? When do you call it evening? It's 4 o'clock evening?
No,
it's still
after
the afternoon.
Five. After five.
After 5 o'clock is the evening.
5 o'clock, because usually that's when you can go ahead and open something up
Okay.
And kick the evening off.
Yeah.
We'll say it
okay.
That way.
How about that? All right.
I'll go with 5 o'clock.
All right, so it's still the afternoon, the late afternoon post-game show today. The Brewers get a couple of runs in the third inning. Jake Bowers with a monster home run to give them the lead, and Logan Henderson was fantastic over on the Nicolay Law Fan Talk and Text Line. 262 says, big win. Good job by the fans at the end of the top of the sixth to realize situation and give Henderson recognition. Henderson has been fantastic. He has a 4 straight quality starts now.
You know, and to go to the fan portion of what that comment was, I think sometimes we in this area take for granted the type of baseball fan that we have. We've got smart baseball fans who understand varying situations, what the storylines may or may not be at any given moment. You don't see that everywhere. And so, again, for the crowd to begin to throw a little support towards Henderson at the right moment, I think just, once again, gives some credence to the type of fan that we have here in Milwaukee.
How many fans do you think were at the game today? 110 Saturday game.
A 110 Saturday game. Give me, and I didn't hear this on the radio, so give me 41,380.
42,298.
Oh.
That is way over a sellout. It used to be, I think capacity used to be 41.9, then they added those offices up in the right field. So I don't know what it is now, probably like 41.2 or 41.4 or something like that. So way over capacity for an afternoon game. There's been a ton of fans at American Family Field this week for the Mariners and Braves series.
And once again, you know, we always hear about the small market, but when the organization, in the fashion that they've gone about their business in building these rosters, you know, through the farm system and now seeing it pay prudence here at American Family Field, this city, much like many, many, many moons ago when the Braves were here, they'll come out. Mm-hmm. This community, this state, will come out and support this ball club.
Again, 4-1 is the win. We'll go to the Nicolay calling line, 414-677-1250. Vincent is calling in from Anaheim. Vincent, how's it going?
Hey, what's up? What's up? How y'all doing? Don with Chillers. Nice to talk to you. I heard of you. You know, hey, man, I want to say, man, all the time, y'all have the breast subs for Tim, man. So I'm going to keep it real. Brewers got it done. They won. And that's what they need to keep doing, especially against good teams. This is a playoff team right here. This is a playoff matchup right here. Even though it's the regular season and maybe the Braves are not going all out. You know what's funny? The Dodgers already got put on notice. So I listened to the Dodger post game because I was driving home. They're not even talking about the number one seed anymore. They're talking about the second seed now. That was yesterday because they tell the Brewers keep winning. So now, you know, I guess they won, and then the Brewers beat the Braves. So they're just talking about the second seed now. But, you know, that's the Dodgers. You know, they've proven it in the pro season. But so, you know, the Brewers keep doing what they're doing. You beat all those teams, good or bad. And now, you know, of course, that matchup, that you know, heart attack matchup is going to be against the Cubs and all those weird, like, you know, one series and then go away and then another series. So, but, you know, that's good to see. And then Jake the Rake, man, he's doing his thing. And that's all that matters, man. Win is a win. You don't matter how ugly or how good looking, man. Just keep stacking up those W's.
Vincent, before I let you go, it's now 6.5 the lead over the Cubs. Cubs playing tonight yet, late night in Seattle. What does the lead have to get to by the time they play each other on August 31st? So 8 days from now, what would the lead have to be for you to be like, these series kind of don't really matter. Like the Brewers have this locked up.
I think at least it got to be minimum 10.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If not, a maximum would be like 12. You got 12 games above, you can kind of lose maybe two of the games. You know, but it's the Cubs, man. It's your rivals. You want to beat them. But I think 10, you know what I mean? Because even if you lose a game, it's just going to go back and forth. But as long as you don't downslide, you know what I mean? You lose, and then, you know, all the people go on streaks. You never know. They can be like the Red Sox and go on a damn 10-game winning streak, the Cubs. But hopefully not.
All right, Vincent, appreciate it. Thanks for calling in from Anaheim.
All right, thank y'all. Do your thing. Go through crew.
Vincent in Anaheim listening on the free Odyssey app, I do presume, over in California. And he wants about a 10-game lead by the time, so you'd need to gain about another 3 games in 8 days. So he's basically saying, I'm not comfortable with a lead heading into the Cubs series.
I was in that 8-9 range. Like, get me to 8-9 games ahead of the Cubs going into those two series as they play out. I don't believe the Cubs will at any point in those two series come out with a sweep. They have the potential to win a series or both, but with an 8 or 9 game lead going into it, it's too insurmountable for them to catch up. Now, to Vincent's point, the last thing you want to do is backslide, however, because we've seen teams like the Cardinals in years past who all of a sudden, latter part of the season, in the beginning of that playoff run, all of a sudden just catch fire, and momentum can carry a team, much like it did for the Red Sox coming out of the All-Star break. So you don't want to give the Cubs too much confidence, I'll say it that way, and get them into a mode where they're feeling invincible. But if it also can take the pressure off the Brewers a little bit. Teams, when they're relaxed, tend to play a little bit more freer. And when you tend to play a little bit more freer, sometimes really good things happen. And so in a crazy situation like that, you end up with the momentum, but you're playing freer because you've got a substantial lead in which you know the Cubs won't be able to bounce back from.
Let's say the Cubs lose tonight. It would be a 7-game lead. As of, that would be after August 22nd. On July 22nd, the Brewers had a 7-game lead. So in 1 month, if the Cubs lose tonight, the Brewers and Cubs would have gained no ground on each other.
And think about the stretch for the Chicago mm-hmm. Cubs and how well they played and how maddening that has to be for council and staff there at Wrigley to know that they've played much better coming out of the All-Star break, but to your point, have yet to gain any ground because the Brewers have done the one thing that you need. I know Tim Allen always talks about the season being a marathon. They've been consistent. And that consistency is what we're talking about right now with a team that in Chicago has gone up, down, sideways, and forwards, but couldn't gain any ground when they were winning baseball games and doing it handily.
Last time the Brewers and Cubs played, going into the series, it was 6.5 was the lead. That's what it is right now. And that was June 26th. So almost 2 months ago, it's basically nothing in the difference. And so for me, if they have this lead, if they have 7 games by the time August 31st hits, they won the division. Even before they play the Cubs those 7 times in 10 days.
Right.
Because like you, the Cubs aren't sweeping either one of those series. So that means at best, they're going 5-2. They can only gain 3 games then because of that.
Right.
Which means it would be a 4-game lead. And at the end of September 10th, I don't know the exact number, but it's got to be about probably about 20 games, 15. I mean, less than that. I'm going to look it up. I'm going to make sure that I get this number correct here.
As much as I want that comfortability factor, I also would love to see, even though I just spent 3 minutes talking about, well, when you're relaxed, yeah, you play freer, but a little bit of pressure because, again, we've seen teams with great momentum at the end of the year that's catapulted them to the World Series. We've seen a Brewer team of under council however many years ago where they had it secured, they rested everybody, the playoffs came, and they lost that momentum that they had in the latter part of the season and then fell apart once the playoffs got here. So there has to be this mix, and I'm not necessarily sure what the percentages would be between a little bit of tension, but the security in knowing that you're going to win the division and you get to play a little bit freer, whether it's 60-40, 70-30, whatever side of the fence you fall on, a little bit of tension, I think, can't hurt this team down the back end of the season.
15 games following that second Cubs series. So you'd have a 4-game lead with 15 to play. It's pretty darn hard to lose a 4-game lead in that amount of time for a team that's as good as the Brewers.
Right.
And, yeah, you know, the Rockies could lose that, or the Reds could lose that amount of games in 15. But the team that's the best in baseball, or, you know, the Brewers, Dodgers, Braves, Phillies even, Cubs, those teams aren't losing 4-game leads in 15 games. So I would feel pretty confident with a 7-game lead going in August 31st.
And the way, so the playoffs we know are different, right? The playoffs are different than the regular season. In basketball, the playoffs are different than the regular season. But watching the resiliency of that Brewer team today, and I said to you before we came on the air, I looked at that lineup and the way it was structured today and the way the substitution patterns came, not necessarily with pitching, but position players. I was like, this is our playoff lineup right now that you could bring in a Garrett Mitchell, move Bowers yeah. over to first base, the kind of rotations that Murph can do.
Yeah, it's probably Lara in center against lefties and
right.
Mitchell in center against righties in the playoffs. And, you know, you just, whatever. It's
yeah.
the same thing, basically.
And, yeah. and then you still have pieces to move mm-hmm. in the course of the game. I know the long ball plays an important role in the playoffs, but the way this team has the ability to manufacture runs, the way you get a Pratt who ended up hitting a deep fly ball to get a run in, but the pitch prior was squaring off to bunt
yeah.
to see if we could A, move the runner over, or B, you might have an opportunity for a safety squeeze. call it small ball, as I was saying earlier, call it old school, call it whatever you want to call it. I'm calling it Brewer baseball. And Brewer baseball is a formula in which a team that doesn't necessarily have the consistent long ball hitter can manufacture wins and propel themselves to where we are now, which is the best team in baseball.
Harley in the VA chimes in on the Nicolay Law talking text line. This pitching staff is World Series talent. It is. We talked about it, the ERAs of this group. 1-2-3, Miz is 1-6-8, Henderson 2-6-0, and Harrison's 2-8-3 off the top of my head. And then you have Dustin May as your number four. Shane Drouin will probably go to the bullpen. Mm-hmm. He's been good. Chad Patrick 3-3-0. Aaron Ashby, as much as he struggles to keep runners off, he doesn't allow very many runs when those runners are on base. Trevor McGill is, him and Mason Miller have basically been the two best closers outside of two outings for McGill. I mean, he has been fantastic. And we know Abner Uribe, when he comes back, they're loaded.
They're loaded.
They don't even really have a bad pitcher on this staff right now.
The only thing that would cause for me any sort of apprehension going into the postseason is, and I'm being sarcastic in how I'm phrasing this, but what's between the ears? In other words, you've got a young pitching staff right now who's pitching. I'll go back to this idea of playing freely because they've got a commanding lead. They're very confident when they go out there. But I think we all know that the backside shrinks a little bit, gets a little bit tighter once the playoffs come. And can they handle that pressure? If they can handle that pressure, to the texter's point, this is a World Series, caliber pitching staff that could really carry this team as far as it wants to go.
Are they too dumb to care about the pressure? Or is that, athletes, you can't play that game? Because they know. They know how big an NLCS against the Dodgers is or an NLDS against the Cubs is.
It's, the great athletes, the Tiger Woods, you can go right down the line regardless of the sport, have ways of blocking that out. We always hear athletes in the zone. Jordan used to, Jordan's in the zone, which simply means he was able to block the rest of the world out, even things that were happening in and around him, and simply focus on the task at hand. If this pitching staff can figure out their own zone individually when they take the mound once the playoffs come, then again, you're right. According to the texter, we have a World Series caliber pitching staff that can propel us.
All right, let's look over at our Growth Law video stream. You can watch any of our shows, including the Potawatomi Sportsbook, on our Growth Law video stream. That's on X, YouTube, Facebook, at WI Sports Radio. Injured Growth gets it. Boomhawk says, there you go, Ash, shut me up. Talking about Aaron Ashby getting the save in the ninth inning, gave up two singles, both kind of soft contact dribblers, then was able to get out of it, a flyout and a double play. Picks up the save. Also over there on the Growth Law video stream, Josh P. Vega says, we need a sweep for that tiebreaker tomorrow. I was thinking about it. It's important. But now they're up six games on the Braves. And if they win tomorrow, it'd be seven. It'd be nice to be upset. They don't need that tiebreaker if they're up seven. It's nice to have, but seven games is a lot against a team you don't have any head-to-heads with.
You don't have any head-to-heads with,
so
however.
It might not matter.
It may not.
My point.
But it might.
It might.
And
yeah.
It's the might that will always keep fans nervous, right? That you never know when something like that towards the latter end of the season could come back and really nip at your backside. The idea of, in this instance, taking care of business, getting the sweep, owning the tiebreaker, and putting something like that in your back pocket, I think is worthy. And when we're talking about a young team, anytime you can start putting some of those things like a tiebreaker in your back pocket, I think, again, it just helps boost the confidence level of this team that really I don't know how much confidence level boosting they need, because they go out with a swagger mixed with a humility that I think is nothing short of impressive, and it's all the result of how Murph runs that organization.
Kim over on Facebook says it's a game of inches, good defense. Yes, this team is very good defensively. Luis Lara with a sliding catch in the eighth inning. They're actually just showing it on the postgame show on the television side right now. Fantastic defense. Big reason why the ERAs are as low as we've been talking about. And then pointing out on YouTube, J-Boy says, high watermark, 32 games over 500, LFG Brewers. Can't say what that means, but yes, LFG Brewers.
But think back, Aaron, the first month of the season, in the first couple of weeks even, when the Brewers were a little slow, I'll say, to get out of the gate. Mm-hmm. And I remember seeing things pop up on various sports websites talking about, were we sold a bill of goods? Can this team be as good as they were last year? Everybody getting worked up. Now, I agree with Tim Allen in the fact that every single game matters, much like tomorrow's matters in the fact that you can win that tiebreaker mm-hmm. and call it a day. Every single game matters. But in the course of a marathon, if you're a little slow out of the gate, there's still plenty of time to make up ground, get the lead, and then run away with it. And that's where the Brewers stand right now. A little slow out of the gate. All of a sudden, they hit the quarter pole, and they've been off and running ever since that point came.
All right, now going to the Nick Lay text line. Hey, guys, Jeff in Milwaukee here. Thanks for the show. Seen something today a couple days ago. A runner tagging up from first base. Don't remember the last time I seen this. You guys. That isn't something that is done often.
Nope.
I think it is something that has certainly picked up over the last decade very slowly. I think it's extremely smart. I don't know why teams haven't done this before, but it doesn't happen very often, Jeff, because guys' arms are so good, and it is really tough to go first to second base on any of the throws from the outfield.
Absolutely.
They're all relatively close to second base. Now you can go second to third easier in center field and right field, a little bit of longer throws. That's why you don't see first to second as often. But if some of these deep fly balls, if they send the fielders back far enough with momentum going away from the base still, mm-hmm. it's almost an automatic. You got to test it.
Well, and then the other factor has to come into play, just speed of the base runner.
Yeah.
We've got Lara and Mitchell. We've got guys on the base pass who can fly. Not every team has that. And so when the Brewers weren't doing it, I think some of that factored in as far as who was on the base path and what type of speed they possess. And now we've got this team that possesses a great deal of speed. So you have the ability, like you said, if you can get that fielder to go back a little bit and get their momentum going in the opposite direction, it gives you a better opportunity to go from first to second. Before we get to break real quick.
Yeah.
Polish pipe bomb Jeff Orlowski. Got to say hi. He's listening.
Oh, yeah. You know he's listening. You know he's listening. What's up, pipe bomb? We've had him on the postgame show a few times in the last couple weeks as well, just to hang out for
a half hour or so.
Good
man.
Yeah. 414-677-1250 is the number to text or call if you want to get in on the last 40 minutes of the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show here. No Tim Allen. He's got a band gig today. So it's Aaron Morris and Don Wachilis in. The Brewers win 4-1. We've got to hear from Pat Murphy yet in just a little bit. And we'll tell you about what happened, how the Brewers got those four runs, a little bit of a rewind of the game. The Brewers victorious. They win another series. They're going for a sweep tomorrow night in Williamsport. This is the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
Who gave the crew some breathing room? What play was it? It's time for the insurance run of the game, brought to you by G2 Insurance, your friend in insurance, on the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show with Tim Allen on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Two balls, two strikes. First and third, nobody out. And Pratt hits a high fly ball to left field. Out in the sun is Yastrzemski. Plenty deep for both runners to tag. Ortiz will score. Lara the second. And it's 4-1 Brewers.
That is Cooper Pratt hitting a sacrifice fly. That came in the fourth inning to make it 4-1. That is your insurance run of the game. Running a business is like a championship run. One bad hit can take you out of the game. G2 Insurance Services specializes in keeping your business and reputation protected. They offer tailored solutions for restaurants, professional liability, and workers' comp. They represent top carriers like Erie to find the best combination of coverage and price. Get the defensive line your business deserves. G2 Insurance Services in Brookfield. Online at g2ins.com. Your friend in insurance. I think we could have went with the Bowers home run, but that was to give him the lead. the Pratt one was the insurance run and really nice to have. It was a good piece of hitting just to get it out there. And sometimes it's more difficult to do than to say. But he was able to just lift it deep enough.
Yeah.
Didn't need to go too far. It was Joey Ortiz at third, so some speed, but he got it to the warning track and did his job nicely.
Well, you get the sacrifice fly after that safety squeeze bunt attempt that we were talking about in the last segment. So you got two strikes on you. So not only are you trying to create a situation that you can get the run in, but you're just also trying to protect yourself at the plate to stay alive. And the way Pratt executed that, I thought was obviously, you know, the best that we've saw as far as an insurance run goes, which is why you chose it, and rightfully so. And then while the game was going, Aaron, I sit and I look at what Pratt has done. I look at what Lara's doing. Lara now has four hits in this series from the right-hand side of the plate. And if my Google monster is correct, he only had one hit from the right side of the plate going into this series.
Okay.
That his damage has been done hitting on the opposite side, being the left-handed side. So we're watching Pratt and Lara come into their own, much like we watched Churio last year. From the beginning of the season to the end of the season, he was like night and day. Confidence, his ability to play the outfield, the whole nine yards. And we're watching the same thing take place between Lara and Pratt, which is amazing to me that you have the best team in baseball and you've inserted two true rookies into your position spots of significance, center field and shortstop. We're not talking about what position can you hide somebody? Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure. But when you're talking about the middle of the diamond and you've got two true rookies who are developing in front of our eyes and doing it well, I mean, it's another ingredient to what has been a very special season so far.
I love just trivia questions in general, sports trivia. I'm not good at any other trivia questions.
I hate
Jeopardy.
Tests.
I don't understand how people can answer those questions. But 414 says, since 2000, only one team has ever won a World Series when finishing dead last, hitting home runs as a team. Currently, the Brewers are dead last. And then he says which team it was. Since 2000, the only team to have dead last in home runs and win it all.
Florida Marlins.
No, it is the 2012 San Francisco Giants.
Wow.
I wouldn't have guessed that, but they play in a pitcher's park, so I guess it makes a little bit of sense.
When did the Marlins win the World Series? Am I way off? Were they in the 90s?
Maybe they won in 99.
I might not even have the right decade or century when I threw out the answer.
They won in 03. That's what it was. It was 97 and 03.
All right. At least I was in the ballpark. Get what I did there? Thank you, Aaron.
Yeah. 2012 Giants, the only team. I think there is something to that statistic. I don't think that it means that you can't win the World Series just because you don't have power, but I think there absolutely is something to the statistic that when you get into the postseason, it's a lot harder to score runs.
Yes.
And the way that it's very easy to score runs is just by hitting over the wall, because you only need one of those hits to score a run instead of two or three hits if you're just not hitting a homer, if you're just singling.
Well, think about the fact that since the 2000s, we've had one team that was dead last in home runs, which shows you that, yes, you can still win a World Series, by not going with the long ball, but it just makes life that much more incredibly difficult, as evident by the fact that the Giants were the only ones to do it.
Because you're not facing, I always say this, you're not facing Joe Blow every three or four games in the postseason. You're facing Yoshinobu Yamamoto and Blake Snell and Chris Sale and Shohei Ohtani. You're facing the best three pitchers that each team has. Right? You think no team is facing Robert Gasser in the postseason as a starter. They're facing Logan Henderson, Jacob Mizorowski, Kyle Harrison. Well, kind of hard to score runs against those guys. You know, they're only giving up two and a half runs every nine innings. You know, like, that's really hard to score those runs off those guys. It's a little easier to score off of a Shane Droen or a Robert Gasser, and those guys aren't going to be pitching at all, starting at all for the Brewers in the postseason. So it's going to be harder for those other teams too, but harder for every offense.
And it, if you are a team like the Brewers who doesn't hit the long ball as frequently as maybe we would like, that's where really sometimes the heartbreak comes in because of the three that you mentioned, coupled with what their ERA is right now, how well they're pitching, that they're not giving up a lot of runs, any runs really, yeah, during their start. Get one guy to get, I'll call it lucky, off of a Mizorowski fastball that gets the HR, and suddenly you're looking at a 1-0 loss after 9 innings. Those are where things can get a little bit heartbreaking because our offense is facing their best pitching, much like they're doing in reverse against the Miz and others. That's where the long ball can kind of save you because you just need one or two against pitching of that caliber to help get you the win, that you're not always going to have the ability to manufacture runs like we did today against Perez and have Perez throwing, you know, 37 pitches in the fourth inning. That's not going to happen because if we're in the playoffs, if we're talking about a 3, 5, or 7 game series, Perez is not going that deep as far as his pitch count goes. And I don't know if Perez would have even gotten to a Jake Bowers. We would have seen something much more situational taking place with the Braves management in seeing who they would have went to the bullpen to get. The game is just a little bit different once we get to playoff time.
Yeah, you look at the Brewers just last year, game two against the Cubs, all 7 of their runs coming on home runs. And in game 5 of that series, all 3 of their runs coming on home runs, right? They're winning those games because they hit the homers. Then when they faced the Dodgers, well, they scored 1 run, 1 run, 1 run, and 1 run because they weren't hitting homers. That's the difference. Yeah. They hit a couple of homers. Maybe they win 3-2 instead of losing 2-1, or win 4-3 instead of losing 3-1, you know, in those games. A couple homers. I point back to when they lost to the Mets on the Pete Alonso home run.
Mm-hmm.
It was 0-0 going into the 8th inning, or 7th, and whatever, it was 8th inning, right? And then they went back-to-back.
Yep.
Bowers and Frelick went back-to-back, and it was like, oh, instant offense.
Right.
Well, and then the Mets, 3-run homer in the 9th. Instant offense, right? That's how those teams scored all those runs. They weren't getting any hits. It was a classic postseason game.
Which is why, you know, we want to see Contreras now, who seemingly has himself moving in the right direction as far as offensive production goes. I don't think, maybe outside of the state of Wisconsin, Contreras gets the recognition he deserves from behind the plate. When you think about the teams of old that have been successful, like the Cardinals, you can go right down the line, the catching spot where there has been veteran leadership, someone who understands the game inside and out. I'll go back to when Miz was pitching in L.A. Remember, he had bases loaded. He gets himself out of the jam, but he goes to the slider as opposed to the fastball and absolutely confused everybody. Well, you'll even hear Miz say the reason behind it was Contreras. Contreras mm-hmm. is like, let's get they're setting up. They're timing your fastball right now, which to me is just unfathomable that you can time up something that's moving 103 miles an hour. But they were, and then goes to the slider and absolutely befuddled that team, and then they get the win. What William Contreras means to this ball club is exponentially just so important. Getting him going on offense to mix what he does defensively. Yeah. Then
he turns into the best catcher in baseball.
The man is special.
All right, we need to take a break. We will hear from Pat Murphy coming up after the break. We'll hear from him and something Murphy said before the game. Brandon Woodruff has a chance to pitch again this year. Who would have thought? So we'll talk about that as well. The Brewers win 4-1. It's the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show without Tim Allen. Aaron Morris, Don Wachilis filling in here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Potawatomi Sportsbook.
The game is over, and it's time to hear from the skipper on the Potawatomi Sportsbook postgame show with Tim Allen on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network.
Get a whole lot better than That's called dragging him. That's called dragging him, right? 23 pitches and both end positively like it did with a walk and then a big homer. I don't think you can have a better at bat than that. I mean, that's the epitome of dragging him. And, yeah, I think he shocked himself. You know what I mean? It was that incredible. But you add 23 pitches to a pitcher in the first three, four innings. That's an extra inning for sure, plus. Just on one hitter with two positive results. So that was amazing. Game-changing type stuff, you know. A lot of good performances today. And Lara was spectacular again defensively. Offensively, he did some big things. And, you know, Pratt executed when he needed to. And pitching with, again, the bullpen without our – with our, so many of our – bullpen pieces down, the way D.L. Hall stepped up, Patrick stepped up, Ashby, of course, getting all the ground balls. But, yeah, it was wonderful. Good team effort.
That goes on that long, do you get a sense that it's leaning one way?
Well, think about it. You know, like when you – if you have a day, okay, you have four at-bats, how many pitches are you going to generally see? Let's say 16. So if you can have a 12-pitch at-bat, it's like having three at-bats in one. And you're familiarizing yourself. Your timing's getting better. You know, I always tell pitchers, when you're in that situation and you go deep in that at-bat, 10, 11, 12 pitches, throw a purposeful ball. He's in swing mode. That's why it got to that. Throw a purposeful ball if you can and see what happens. And if you walk him, it's not – but to give that guy that much look – I think, especially if you don't have lightning stuff, you know, that kid Perez has had an unbelievable year. He's an unbelievable pitcher. He's had an unbelievable, you know, career. That's how you wear him down.
Talked a lot about how one of the keys for Jake this year has been clearing his mind, not getting down himself after at bats. Has that become more impressive how long he's been able to maintain that, considering we've had a couple of players you've noticed have been trying too hard to play.
Yeah, I mean, every major league player has so much, feels so much responsibility to perform and get results. And it's a dangerous thing when you don't get – I'm watching Yelich right now. Like, he hits two balls square today. If they're hits, it's a great day. But they're right to the guys. How can he change that? You know what I mean? There's no way to change that. So those are left-on-left at-bats. It's 200, and that's the nature of our game. It's hard to be above that and to keep grinding through it. And I think Jake has been through enough in his career that he's come into his own. He has a belief system now. He understands who he is, and he understands the other side of it, where you can get down on yourself when you don't do well right away. Now, didn't he have a four-punch-out game the other day? I think he did, didn't he? Yeah, but we forget about it quick, right? I mean, it was within a week. He had four punch-outs. I was pulling for the fifth. But just so Churio wouldn't be alone. Remember? He had one last year. But,
yeah.
He threw the ball great. You know, you can't just dominate like he has every time, just like Miz didn't dominate. But six innings against an offense like this and you know, to keep them intact the way he did. Pitch like he did in the first inning and get out of it. Yeah, he didn't have his good stuff. He didn't have his good tempo. His tempo wasn't great. He was behind in the count much more than usual. But he got the six innings. He threw the most. Is that the most pitches he's thrown in a game? Is that – am I right? All right, well, that's good. You know, he got to go through that. But still, to give us six and be in position to win. And Patrick did a nice job. D.L. Hall, come on. He's got to face the middle of the order and do what he did in quick order. Pretty special.
Have you seen a difference for Henderson these last two times? Because he had the same paper all year, the pitch count got up there, the stuff tapered off. How have you seen him maintain that these last two times?
He's been better, you know, and some of that's belief and mental and all that. And he's been really, really good. You know, he's mixed in the cutter in a good times, even the sweeper today. But when he starts locating the fastball on both sides, no matter who's hitting, that fastball plays up. It might say 92, 93, but it plays up. And it comes from a very low slot, so you feel like it's rising.
How have you seen his confidence in his voice grow over time?
Yeah.
He has some traffic, and he doesn't let the first inning.
Yeah, the impression I get, you know, being with the kid last year and this year, he's just such a wonderful person, and he cares so much about team that he feels so responsible to his teammates that he competes that way. And it's so evident, and guys want to play behind him. It's so evident. He never makes an excuse. He never blames anyone else. And that's what I love about this kid, you know, like that makes you feel good. Anytime he goes on the mound, I've said this before, whenever he goes on the mound, I feel good because I know he feels that awesome sense of responsibility, which some guys get internal and it gets all towards them and, you know, people sense it.
Two hits for William today. You talked about his high expectations that he has for himself. Do you feel like he, more than the average hitter, kind of makes use of momentum when he's going well at the plate?
No, I think William knows he's being way more disciplined. Just look at his ball strike recently, and that's what. And he's faced. Look, he's faced two of the best pitchers in the league the last 2 days, and look at how he's kept himself disciplined. That is the key, discipline, and that swinging at the right pitches with a simple swing. You know, trying to stay in the middle of the field. That's what William's got to do, and he's executed pretty well.
Other end of one of those longer at bats against Harris there, and maybe where you just think of the way that he's able to keep going and finish him off.
Same thing, throw a ball, you know, throw a purposeful ball to get out of it. You know, the guy's seen you, but he didn't know DL, you know what I mean? So that's the other advantage we had. He heard what he threw, but DL is, you know, sometimes he's used the slider, sometimes he's used more curveball, sometimes he's been change up heavy, sometimes the heater's 93. You know, sometimes it's 97. So I think the report on him is not even full yet. So I think he probably went up there thinking, all right, I'm going to get a breaking ball and a average heater out over. And I think he was able to use all four pitches against him in that long at bat and beat him with what did the guy end up doing? What did he do? Punched him out, slider down and away. Yeah.
It's obviously a unique situation to kind of pick up this series and have to finish it in Williams Court. But can you just speak to the opportunity for this team to play in
right
tomorrow, especially just being a guy to young sons of playing baseball?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. You know, anytime we can give back, anytime we can represent, anytime we can be an example for young people in the game or just young people in general, I think it's our responsibility. You know, and I think that while the travel is a little unique and, you know, there might be some downside to what some of the players go through, I think they're all thrilled to be part of it and, you know, to know that they're doing something for the game other than just, you know, competing every night and representing our organization. You know, they're doing something good for baseball.
That's our cue. Pat Murphy is completed with his post-game conversation there with the assembled media. And it's basically time for us to be done here on the Potawatomi Sportsbook post-game show. We've had a great time. I shouldn't speak for you. I mean, maybe you
had a wonderful time. No.
Maybe you had an awful time.
Listen, it was a great time hanging out, and it's a great time always when the Brewers win. It makes the show go that much quicker, and it's that much more fun.
Yeah, they are now a high watermark, 32 games over 500. It is a 6.5-game lead on the Cubs. They play late night tonight in Seattle. 81-49, the best record in baseball by 2.5 games.
It's just fun to keep saying it. You could spend 2 hours just saying that because it just brings a smile to your face. I mean, there's no other way to look at it.
All right, tomorrow, 6 o'clock start. They're on ESPN, National Game, Little League Classic. Tim Allen and Evan Heffelfinger will have the leadoff show for you at 5 o'clock. Those two will also have the post game for you after the game. So stick around for that after the last pitch. You make the switch as always, here on the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. For Don Wachilis, I'm Aaron Morse. Thanks for joining us. Brewers win 4-1, 7-2 since getting swept by the Padres. We've been live from the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network studios, powered by the Pottawatomie Sportsbook.
Latte for Keenan?
That's me.
Hey, you're...
Yeah.
Buying a car online on AutoTrader?
Really? But unlike other sites, you can start online, test drive with a local dealer, then finish online or at the dealership.
Cool. Enjoy.
Buy your car online on AutoTrader. Really.
At Graybar, we know your time is money. That's why our services go beyond parts and products. With kitting, pre-assembly, wire carts, and Graybar smart reels that keep you moving. We stage materials and manage logistics so you can spend less time sorting and more time installing. And with locations nationwide, we deliver when and where you need it, working to make your job easier every step of the way. Yep, Graybar does that.
T-Mobile has an exclusive bundle for customers 55 and up.
I'm Sarah Bowl.
Yeah, I'm Frank Bowl.
A reliable network is key for us. And with T-Mobile, it's been wonderful. And going to the 55-plus plan saved us so much money.
A lot.
And that's important. Trying to keep costs down. The home internet's been perfect. It's fast. It's quick. The setup was so easy. It took less than 15 minutes.
It was like, if you want simplicity, coverage, reliability, you want the whole package, T-Mobile has it.
Right now, T-Mobile customers 55 and up can get two phone lines on America's best network, plus America's fastest 5G home internet for just $30 each.
$30 per month each line with auto pay plus taxes and fees. Minimum age 55. Pricing for home internet rely on 2 lines of Essentials Choice 55. $35 connection charge per line required. Best mobile network and fastest 5G home internet based on analysis by Ookla of Speedtest Intelligence data 2H 2025. All rights reserved.
Hi, I'm Steph, and I work at United Healthcare. When I think about United Healthcare's members, I think of my own family. My niece was diagnosed with an ultra-rare genetic disorder. I know how hard it is for families. At United Healthcare, we can make it easier.
I'm Brian. I care because I know what it's like to not speak the language. It's not easy. Health insurance is complicated. I would say our job is to make everything easy for our UHC members. I work for United Healthcare. I'm committed to care.
What's up? I'm Draymond Green, and when I'm not hosting the Draymond Green Show, I'm usually working out in the gym and on the court. Anybody can have one good day in the gym, but the key is recovery. That's why athletes are taking Omega XL Sport. Omega XL Sport is a premium recovery supplement powered by green-lipped muscle oil extract with 3 key clean ingredients and backed by over 4 decades of research. It's NSF certified for sport, which is such an amazing distinction. It's free of 290 banned substances trusted by athletes and recognized by major sports organizations. My body has taken a beating over the years, and recovery becomes more important the longer you stay active. That's why Omega XL Sport caught my attention. Omega XL Sport helps support your body's natural recovery process, helping reduce post-workout muscle soreness, inflammation, and supports mobility so you can stay consistent when it matters most. Less time feeling beat up, more time doing what you love. Omega XL Sport. Extra strength recovery now available at GNC and GNC.com.